In South Sudan, peace talks are resuming today. The two sides in that country's civil war are meeting next door in Ethiopia. They are trying to find some way to end an ethnic conflict that's now 6 months old. But to understand the impact of that war, you have to go not just to the fighting, but to where tens of thousands are hiding. Gregory Warner, NPR's East Africa correspondent, takes us on a swampy journey up the Nile.
Even by the standards of an undeveloped country like South Sudan, Genyel can feel like the middle of nowhere. It's a bunch of tiny islands surrounded by a gigantic floodplain fed by the River Nile. And just to get around the place, after taking a helicopter from the capital, you have to ditch your sneakers for gumboots, wade out from the swampy shore into waters too deep for an SUV, too shallow for a speedboat. You board a canoe made of a hollowed-out palm tree.
Okay, so we're in a boat, and there's only about 2 inches between the top of the boat and the water. Oh, man.
Because of its isolation and its malarial waters, Genyel was sparsely populated until a civil war broke out in South Sudan, and this middle of nowhere became somewhere safe. Lorjak Riek Lorjak is one of 40,000 new arrivals.
This river is also very protective to...
This river is protective?
Yeah, to the people of Genyel.
Lorjak came to the swamps to hide out from government soldiers and other armed groups that he says are killing people from his ethnicity, the Nuer. But he allows a laugh when I ask him if the militias could follow him here, into the swamps.
Yeah, really, it's true. The whole army cannot get into the boat. Their attackers can get themselves ready.
As if on cue, when he mentions attackers, a young man floats past in his own canoe, an AK-47 on his lap. The tough terrain guarantees that a few tribal vigilantes, called the White Army, can defend this whole swamp against assault. But the question is, for how long? Some 500 miles away from here in the Ethiopian capital, the South Sudan peace talks are set to resume. But Lorjak says that people here have lost faith in politicians to end the conflict.
Because they don't see any sign of peace, you know, between the government and the rebels. So it's better for them to stay in the bush.
Even if they're starving?
Even if they're starving.
On shore, we find a malnutrition clinic where a 2-year-old named Nia Diet cries for a turn at her mother's breast. It's a spot taken by her twin sister. The toddlers are the size of infants with impossibly thin ankles. Their mother, Nia Bol, speaks with a bowed head. Her milk is dry, she admits. She's not eaten this week. Except for occasional airlifts of food from the United Nations, she's been surviving on wild fruits and water lilies pulled from the swampy bed. Toby Lanzer is the humanitarian coordinator for the United Nations. He's come on this trip to Genyel to assess the situation.
Markets have collapsed. So even if you might have something to trade or a little bit of money, there's nothing to buy because the traders have gone. You've not been able to move around with your livestock. You've not been able to move around and plant and cultivate.
The reason, though, that Lanzer and the United Nations are not yet crying what they call the F word, famine, is because in South Sudan, at this time of year, scarcity is normal. We're in what's euphemistically called the lean months. It happens annually. But if people don't leave their hiding places, if farmers don't plant and traders don't travel, the lean months could become dire years.
Are you thinking you can go back to Bentiu?
Nia Bol says she has little to go back to. Her house has been burnt, her cattle stolen. And she's heard what happens to women captured by militias from the other ethnic groups. So she'll remain here, hungry but safe, until a peace comes that she can trust. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Juba.